This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, a fantastic Monday with huge, gigantic things happening in the country, on the planet. Medal of Honor Monday, of course, is coming up an hour from now. Yes, we'll talk about the Trump-China tariff thing. We're going to address some big pharma stuff. We're going to dig into the swamp, the system. There, you have many, many questions. Epstein files, all kinds of things like that. All that emails, fun, I upset Ob on Mother's Day, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's first begin with, I don't know whether to do the good, the bad, or the ugly, so you know what we're going to do first? The maybe. What, Chris? It's fine. It'll be fine. Let's address the China thing. Now, here's what Trump said.
We achieved a total reset with China after productive talks in Geneva. Both sides now agreed to reduce the tariffs imposed after April 2nd to 10% for 90 days as negotiators continue on the larger structural issues. We're not looking to hurt China. China was being hurt very badly. They were closing up factories. They were having a lot of unrest. And they were very happy to be able to do something with us. And the relationship is very, very good.
Okay, let's have a China talk. Isn't that the lamest thing in the world? A foreign policy, a foreign country. You know, I don't spend a lot of time on it, but it really, really is going to matter for our conversation about trade, tariffs, deficit, trade deficits, things like that. First of all, China. China is a very, very big place. You already know that. A lot of people. You already know that. And it is run by the Communist Party of China, the CCP. You know all that. Okay. And Xi Jinping is the head of it. Now, for most people, they think about Communist China with Xi Jinping, and they think it's kind of a Mao total dictator control of the country situation. And that's kind of true, but kind of not true. Let me explain. Yes, Xi Jinping is all powerful. Well, very powerful there. Xi Jinping has taken many steps over the years as he's risen through the ranks of the Communist Party to make sure his leadership is cemented in to eliminate his competition. However, there is something boiling, a couple things boiling and bubbling underneath the surface. And I know you may not care about China, so you're just going to have to hang with me for a second because it's very much going to apply to this trade war tariff thing with us. Here's a couple of the things bubbling beneath the surface. Xi Jinping is discovering what virtually every single horrible dictator in the history of mankind has discovered. Stalin discovered it. Mao discovered it. All of them. Kings in the past have discovered it. No matter how much power you acquire in your country, no matter how much wealth, no matter how big your armies are, no matter what, if you have a lot of power, you are going to have people inside of your country, other powerful people inside of your country, they're going to be after it. They are going to be threatening you at all times. You know, at some point in time, and I'm not making a promise on a date yet, we're going to dig into an Alexander the Great history, as I promised you I would. And I've already begun, in case you're wondering, for the research and all that other stuff on it. One of the things that has hit me so hard about the Alexander the Great stuff is, okay, you have Alexander the Great. They knew right away that we have some kind of prodigy here for a military commander. And right after he took power, his dad dies, he takes power. He takes this incredible army his father had built, and he goes and he has to crush a bunch of rebellions inside of Greece. People inside of Greece were all, hey, let's rebel now. Alexander the Great just went and stomped all of them into the ground. So not only do you have this prodigy, he's a proven prodigy with the greatest army on the planet. And he takes that army overseas and he's going to fight the Persians. You got all that. Alexander the Great had to dedicate unbelievable amounts of time to stopping a rebellion back home. A coup back home. Powerful politicians, generals, royal family, if we have to use those terms. We're talking about a military commander with the greatest army in the world at his fingertips, who's already proven he knows how to use it. Even that guy is having to sit and fight. Well, is this guy going to knife me in the back? Am I going to be... All dictators discover there are limits. There's no such thing as all powerful. The more powerful they get, frankly, the more paranoid they get. So what has Xi Jinping been doing? Well, he's a communist, so you know exactly what he's been doing. Killing his rivals. Now, we're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say disappearing them. But there's a fascinating video. I can't pronounce the guy's name, so I can't even point you to the video, but you're welcome to go look it up and find it. You'll find it pretty easily. And this was recently, last year or two, an old Chinese man, they were having a big meeting, we'll call it their Congress. They were having a big meeting, and this old Chinese man, a very, very powerful communist, had lost a critical bit of power. They went up to him in front of everybody, and they escorted him from the room. Gone. And you can tell by the look on his face, he knows, yeah, I'm dead. That's it. Generals will just disappear. You don't do that when you are 100% secure in your power. You do that when you are insecure. That's what led Stalin to killing all those politicians and generals when he started doing it. He was insecure. Who's going to have a coup? Who's going to take me out? Xi Jinping is not secure in his power. Now, I just laid all that out. But there's a second thing bubbling underneath the surface, more than just generals or other Communist Party members, the people of China. It can be common when you're not in China, and I'm not, and you aren't. I'm never allowed to go. The Communist Party there hates me, so I'll probably be imprisoned if I go, so I'm never allowed to go. But China, it's easy to think of those billion Chinese people as little slaves who work for nothing. And they are forced to do what they do, and they don't really have any hopes or dreams or thoughts. It's just a sea of Chinese slaves in a sweatshop somewhere. Now, that is not totally true. Oh, yeah, they're in sweatshops. Yes, they work them 7 days a week over there because they believe keeping people busy will keep the threat of rebellion down. But those people in China, they need things too. And they want things, too. They want pay. They want a television, air conditioning. They want to be able to afford to take the family out to Red Lobster or something like that on a Friday night. That's what they want. So Xi Jinping has a problem. And this is about us, after all, we in turn have a problem. And the problem is this. Xi Jinping has built his economy, and therefore he has built his political power on the fact that Chinese people make vast, well, I'll say everything. Not, I know that's not true, but he's built it on the fact that Chinese people make everything and sell it to the world. That's how their entire economy has been built. They have built their economy to run a trade surplus where they will make the goods in China, the workers will stay busy making the goods in China, and then China will in turn sell the goods to the planet. Now, this is not a one city thing or one little sector thing. That is the Chinese economy. The Chinese economy. In fact, let's be honest, the Chinese system of government is built on Chinese people in mass quantities making the things the world will purchase and use. Now, back to the trade talk. Again, I'll play it for you.
We achieved a total reset with China after productive talks in Geneva. Both sides now agreed to reduce the tariffs imposed after April 2nd to 10% for 90 days as negotiators continue on the largest structural issues. We're not looking to hurt China. China was being hurt very badly. They were closing up factories. They were having a lot of unrest. And they were very happy to be able to do something with us. And the relationship is very, very good.
So was it a total reset? Where are we on this? Are we scot-free? Let's talk about that. Now that we got a little of the background and where we are, before we talk about that, let's take care of widows and orphans. You know about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. You know that they take care of Gold Star families, the ones we all forget about. Navy SEAL dies in the Red Sea. Tunnel to Towers is there, paying off the mortgage for his family, making sure his family's taken care of. You lose your legs in Iraq. Tunnel to Towers is there to build a smart home so you don't need somebody for everything. They have a homeless veteran program. They have educational never forget programs. They go across America teaching kids about 9/11, runs, walks, climbs. This organization is out there caring for widows and orphans and making sure we all remember our heroes. Isn't that worth $11 a month? $11 a month is all they've ever asked for. T2T.org is where you go to sign up. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a fantastic Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, coming up 45 minutes from now. I'm going to talk about the big pharma stuff. Don't think that is going to escape me. We'll talk about the swamp, the system. I have a ton to get to there because of the Epstein stuff and other things going on. But we are right now focusing on the U.S.-China thing, and this thing is a bit of a coin flip. I'm not going to recap the Chinese political economic situation I just did in the opening, but Xi Jinping needs his people employed, or what he's going to have is a billion Chinese people angry, and he potentially gets taken out and shot one day because that's how it ends in communist countries. He knows those are the stakes of the game. So he's got a problem. What happened? We started slapping tariffs on China, big fat tariffs on China. China, as Trump laid out, immediately began having unrest problems. When we say the Chinese economy demands, it's built on providing everything for the world, those people have to work in those factories or they don't get to eat. And if they don't get to eat, they riot. Rioting, protest was already beginning. So what happened? We agreed to stop fighting temporarily. I want to stress that point. Temporarily. For 90 days, we agreed we were going to take off our tariffs, and China agreed they're going to take off their retaliatory tariffs, and we're going to work something out. But something Trump said here is not really accurate. I get why he said it, but it's not accurate at all, to be honest.
We achieved a total reset with China.
No, we didn't. We paused our trade argument for 90 days, but 90 days from now, the same structural problems exist, and nothing is going to happen between now and then that is going to change that. Meaning, nothing is going to change the fact that China has to have a billion slave laborers in the factories 7 days a week, or Xi Jinping risks getting shot. To put it bluntly, that's the stakes of the game we're in. So, I only brought this up to say this. I am glad the market did well today. I am glad Trump is doing things like addressing fentanyl and things like that from China, and he is. Remember, they didn't take off all of the tariff stuff. They are angry, the Trump administration, I mean. They're angry, and they are focused on the fact that China sends its fentanyl here. They produce the fentanyl, they send it here. So we're addressing that. But is everything going to go away? Are all these problems going to work out? Maybe. Maybe not. Don't think that today, the whole China argument, the China debate, tariff, no, don't think for a second that today that ended at all. It didn't. We got a 90-day reprieve, and then we'll see where we go from there. All right. Now, let's move off of a maybe, and let's talk about something that I absolutely adore. I always have. I always will. I love when an American president of any party fights for American citizens. And Donald Trump, maybe my favorite thing about Donald Trump, is that Donald Trump, the first time he was president, and now in his first 100 days, the second time he's president, he does not sit idly by hoping. He makes it a priority when an American citizen is held abroad by a foreign government, by a terrorist organization, he will go get you and he will bring you home. He announced, well, here was
it. Ends the only American citizen is captured and held hostage by Hamas since October 7th, 2023. And he's coming home to his parents, which is really great news. I mean, to me, it's big news. They thought he was dead. So that's that.
You, an American citizen, any citizen of any nation, really, but you, an American citizen, have every right to expect and demand your president, no matter what his party is, if you get yourself in trouble abroad, that the American president will fight for you, go get you, and bring you home. In fact, I'll take it a step further. You have every right to expect, as an American citizen, if you are held abroad, that potentially military people will risk their lives to bring you home. And if you ask the guys in the military who do that sort of thing, they'll do it gladly. They tell you that. You have every right to expect that. That's part of being a citizen. Being a citizen and a servant or a subject are different things because a subject under a king, the obligations only go one way. You owe him. You owe him. You are not a subject. You are a citizen. Yes, you have to follow the law. Sorry. You have to pay your taxes. I'm even sorrier about that. Yes, you have obligations to live in this society. But obligations go both ways. And when you are held overseas by anybody, whether it's Russia, China, North Korea, or Hamas, you have every right to expect, well, better than this.
How many of them approximately, so we don't know the exact number, but how many legal permanent residents are we convinced are still in Afghanistan?
We don't have an exact number, but it's in the
but a round
in
number?
In the thousands.
Pardon?
In the thousands.
In the thousands.
That was Antony Blinken. You have a right to expect better, to demand better. And that Trump goes and gets our people from Russia, from Hamas, from anywhere. I love that about him. I do. And I salute you, Mr. President, and I thank you for it. Now, let's address India and Pakistan. Try to curry favor with some people. Before we do that, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about keeping your dog healthy and alive. We love our dogs, don't we? I get emails all the time. Hey, hug Fred for me. Believe me, Fred gets plenty of hugs, okay, and still somehow finds a way to demand more. But plenty of hugs. And he is just part of our family, like your dog is, or your cat is, part of your family. So, look, we care about what we feed our kids. Why do we just give our dogs dog food? Dog food is dead. It's empty calories. It's a double cheeseburger from a fast food joint. It's delicious, but it's got no nutrition in it. Sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food or your cat's food. They have meow greens. Natural nutritional supplement will keep that part of your family alive longer. Free jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I have something for everybody with taste before we get to the other thing. Look, you can tell a lot about people by what they like and what they dislike, all right? And everyone knows that highly intelligent people who have good taste, they want to watch me do the show, not just listen. What, Chris? They don't just want to listen. They want to enjoy looking at me. What a blessing that is to be able to look at me. If you would like to know, in all seriousness, we used to simulcast the show on the First TV. And as soon as that went away, everybody started emailing in super mad. I can't find the show. I can't find the show. Well, we were working on something. It was behind the scenes stuff. Anyway, behind the scenes, when I say we, I want to stress that I wasn't involved at all. Chris and Corey were actually handling everything. I didn't get involved or really know that this was happening. But it did happen. And you can watch the show at jessekellyshow.com. Right, Chris? Jesse, that's right. I knew I nailed it. jessekellyshow.com. And there's what, Chris? A button that says video? Is it a button? They click on it? Where's the button? Is it in like the middle or the upper left or upper right? What? It's near the top. So it's not at the top. Chris says it's near the top. If you go to jessekellyshow.com and click on the video button, you will be, well, it'll be quite a treat. You'll get to watch me do the radio show, and that's exciting. That's exciting. I'm happy for you. This is more of a gift to you than anything else. Hey, Chris, I hate to even ask, but is it free? Do they get charged for it? It is free. I'm surprised at you that you didn't throw some sort of a money-making venture of some kind in there. I thought you would do something. Anyway, it's free. JesseKellyShow.com. Click on the video link near the top, as Jewish producer Chris says. What, Chris? I told you I would announce it in there. I announced it. Also, Trump made an announcement today. India and Pakistan. And you don't care. Look, I've done more foreign policy in the last 20 minutes than I really care to in any given show. So I'm not going to spend any time on this at all. Just remember, those two countries hate each other, and they always have. Really, the reason they exist as separate countries is because they friggin' hate each other. And if you ever, if that part of the world fascinates you, it doesn't really me, but if it fascinates you at all, go look into the creation of Pakistan and the disaster that was that separation. Look, there is a war that, I don't want to say genocide because that word is so overused. Is it overused in that case, Chris? You think it was a genocide? But it's a lot of death. I'll put it that way. A lot of death and horrible things as those two places divide. Anyway, they hate each other. They've always hated each other. And they're both nuclear powers, which is generally not good. You know, last week, they got in some huge kerfuffle. What a great word. I had BK on last week to discuss a lot of the background of it and everything. They started killing each other again. And you could easily see that situation because of the historical hatred. You could see that situation getting a little spicy pretty fast when it's two nuclear parties. Trump made this announcement again. It just does foreign policy very well.
On Saturday, my administration helped broker a full and immediate ceasefire, I think a permanent one, between India and Pakistan, ending a dangerous conflict of two nations with lots of nuclear weapons. And they were going at it hot and heavy, and it was seemingly not going to stop. We helped a lot. And we helped also with trade. I said, come on, we're going to do a lot of trade with you guys. Let's stop it. Let's stop it. If you stop it, we're doing trade. If you don't stop it, we're not going to do any trade. People have never really used trade the way I used it, that I can tell you. And all of a sudden, they said, I think we're going to stop. And they have. And we stopped the nuclear conflict. I think it could have been a bad nuclear war.
This is why Donald Trump is good at foreign policy. There are two reasons. There are two reasons that Donald Trump is very good at foreign policy and very good at these things. The first reason is love of country. And that may sound like a stupid, hokey radio point, but just stay with me on this. If I am, let's say we are negotiating with NBC News to get the Jesse Kelly Show on NBC. Hey, believe me, we are very much not, and they would not be interested at all. But let's say we were, the Jesse Kelly Show on NBC. Now, in order to negotiate this deal, should I like the Jesse Kelly Show? That would probably help, right? It would probably help. Should I appreciate you, the listener? Care about you, the listener? Should that matter to me? The show family, should it matter? Well, of course it should matter. When you're walking into a trade negotiation, you better like the side you're negotiating for. Otherwise, the side you're negotiating for is going to get screwed. Why do Democrats constantly get screwed in foreign policy? Well, they instinctively hate us worse than they hate whoever we're negotiating with. That's why. Every single time they walk in that room, well, you're right, we do kind of suck. Anyway, you should screw us over because we suck. That's how they approach it. Trump, for any problem you may have with him, has always talked lovingly about America. Years and years and years, long before he was politically involved. He genuinely loves the place. So when he walks into one of these meetings, he's walking in on our behalf. And I appreciate that, especially when you contrast it. Is it contrast or contrast, Chris? I think you could use both. I went to community college and we used both there. Anyway, especially when you contrast that with the Democrat negotiating way of, yeah, America does suck. Hey, let's sign this deal. Screw it's bad. So that's one reason. The second reason he's very good at these things is his business background. Sometimes that business background can serve you poorly, I should know. But when it comes to foreign policy deals, it helps when you've spent your entire 80 years on the planet bouncing around the globe negotiating deals, and he approaches foreign policy affairs like it's a real estate deal somewhere. Listen again. This is two countries who hate each other, nuclear powers who are currently beating each other to death, and this is how he approaches it.
On Saturday, my administration helped broker a full and immediate ceasefire, I think a permanent one, between India and Pakistan, ending a dangerous conflict of two nations with lots of nuclear weapons. And they were going at it hot and heavy, and it was seemingly not going to stop. We helped a lot. And we helped also with trade. I said, come on, we're going to do a lot of trade with you guys. Let's stop it. Let's stop it. If you stop it, we're doing trade. If you don't stop it, we're not going to do any trade.
How great is that? Trump approaches the whole thing of, hey, let's do a deal. What are we fighting for? There's no need to fight. You want to do a deal? Hey, Preet, come over here. Mohammed, you too. Look, you guys want, you want some falafel or do you not want some falafel? We'll throw an extra falafel. Preet, what, Chris? I'm talking about the deal. Hey, Preet, come on. You want something too? Come on, let's come to the table and let's negotiate. You can laugh, and it is kind of funny, but it works. That's how you get people to the table. You want this? Do you want that? We're going to come help you out with it, and I appreciate it. Now, before we get to the swamp stuff and the Medal of Honor stuff, we have to do a little Big Pharma talk. Because Trump made a huge announcement today about Big Pharma. And this Big Pharma thing has everybody across the political spectrum arguing today. The right is arguing with the right. The right is arguing with the left. The left is arguing with the left. The left is arguing with the right. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What is the deal? But you have a bunch of emails and we're going to talk about those. Before we do that, I want to get you ready because this is going to be a lot to talk about. In order to handle that, maybe lay off the pharmaceuticals and stick with natural herbal supplements, huh? This is a priority in my life. I have tried. Ab is all on board. Obviously, she probably led the charge on this, if I'm being honest, with finding natural solutions for things, whatever it may be. Whatever you're looking to improve upon, Chalk has something for you. Chalk has the highest quality natural herbal supplements I've ever seen in my life. They obviously have specialties that I tell you about all the time, like the male vitality stack that'll jack your T levels through the roof and you'll be feeling good. They have a pre-workout called Chad Mode. If you're just looking for vitamins and minerals, start your day off right. They have chocolate powder. You'll be at the doctor less. You'll feel good. CHOQ.com. Get a subscription so you can save money. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, if you would like to, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. The whole works are welcome. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before I play you what Trump said today about his executive order, his Big Pharma executive order, I'm going to read you just a couple emails. Jesse, COVID is my number one because it was the most pervasive, invasive, and detrimental, relatively speaking. The mass scientific experimentation on the human race to test a proven to be ineffective medical technology for free. In fact, be paid for it because not enough people wanted to engage in experimental trials. Can we? All right. So there's a lot of Big Pharma talk. This guy said, Jesse, oftentimes I'll be sitting in the doctor's office in the waiting room and a dime will stroll in. 100% of the time, that's a pharmaceutical rep waiting to get called back to push their latest drug on the doctor. Okay. Trump made a big executive order, big announcement. Here he was.
So for the first time in many years, we'll slash the cost of prescription drugs and we will bring fairness to America. Drug prices will come down. But starting today, the United States will no longer subsidize the health care of foreign countries and will no longer tolerate profiteering and price gouging from Big Pharma. But it's called most favored nation. We are going to pay the lowest price there is in the world. We will get whoever is paying the lowest price. That's the price that we're going to get. I am doing this for the American people. I'm doing this against the most powerful lobby in the world, probably the drug lobby, drug and pharmaceutical lobby. But it's one of the most important orders I think that's ever been signed, certainly with regard to health care or health.
Well, you said this.
But I do want to say that Democrats could have done this a long time ago. They have fought like hell for the drug companies, and they knew they were doing the wrong thing.
He hilariously said this.
I mean, I'll tell you a story. A friend of mine who's a businessman, very, very, very top guy. Most of you would have heard of him. Highly neurotic, seriously overweight, and he takes the fat shot drug. And he called me up, and he...
The fat shot drug. All right, and finally, I'll let him wrap up with this, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
I think you're going to see a tremendous cut. I don't think. I mean, I know you're going to see it in Medicaid and Medicare. That cut will be massive because drugs are 50, 60% of the cost. So Medicaid costs are going down, and Medicare costs are going down because of what we're doing.
Okay. Now, as I said, everyone is arguing about this today. Because if you are, as I am, a free market person, believe markets should be free, then when you hear the American president saying, hey, no, you're only going to be allowed to charge this, you can't charge that, you're not going to do, maybe that makes you sit up in your chair and say, wait a minute, what's this garbage? And look, maybe not. Maybe you're sitting there and you're just nodding your head saying, yeah, we're being ripped off, screw these guys, but... My only talk about this is going to be this. The largest lobbying arm in the United States of America is the pharmaceutical industry. They give gigantic quantities of wealth to politicians so politicians can keep getting reelected. In return for these huge quantities of wealth, the politicians have put into place over years, Republicans and Democrats have done this, carve out after carve out after carve out, hand out after hand out after hand out to the pharmaceutical companies. This has happened repeatedly in this country. We are at a place in this country where the American taxpayer will actually fund, at least in part, some of the research and development for the pharmaceutical company. For the pharmaceutical company to then turn around and sell drugs cheaper overseas than in the country where you and I fund the research. Now, this was not just an anti-pharmaceutical company screed. This was a heads up for everybody, left, right, center, nationalist, protectionist, libertarian, communist. I don't care who you are. Whatever you favor. Protectionism, free markets, that doesn't matter to me. Don't for a single solitary second claim that the industry we currently have is free market. It is anything but free market. You can argue with what Trump did in response to it. That's fine. You're allowed to have your own thoughts. You can love what he did. You can hate what he did. All that is completely acceptable. You're allowed to have an opinion like anyone else is allowed to have an opinion. But one thing you cannot claim, unless you're a moron or a liar, is that our current system when it comes to pharmaceuticals is just kind of the free market. Free markets are not Congress forcing the American taxpayer to fund a specific sector of the economy. That's not free markets at all. That's gangster capitalism where the governments are picking winners and losers based on how many political donations Congressman Jerkwater happened to get from this particular pharmaceutical company. Jewish producer Chris just looked it up. The health sector, you know how much they spent on lobbying last year? $750 million. $750 million in 1 year. Why do they do that? So in roundabout ways and very direct ways, they have a guaranteed customer base courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer. And I am aware of the hypocrisy because of Operation Warp Speed, which was Trump's baby, which was yet another one of these things where we just pretty much signed a contract to hand something out to the pharmaceutical companies. Hey, no more red tape for you guys. We need this. We need this now. Make a bunch of money. Yeah, it's bad. It's been bad for a very long time. Is what happened today going to be a solution? I don't know. I'm not here to champion or dump on what Trump did today. I'm really genuinely not, because I don't know how it's going to work out. Nobody really does. But what I do know is, don't you dare claim what we had was free market. It wasn't. It was a market completely controlled. Completely controlled. It was anything but free market. Enough of that garbage. We'll get to the swamp and a bunch of that other stuff next hour, but I'm ready to talk about a hero. Me. No, quit. That's not true. It's time to do Medal of Honor Monday. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.